bit. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1 for the first part of our sermon, so if you wanted to turn there, we're going to begin with our prayer now. If you'll pray with me, please. Our Father and our God, we are so very grateful for the good you've given us in each day of our lives, for the good you've given us through your Son. You know, Father, how easily we can get distracted, that the busyness of this life can get our minds and our hearts focused on things that don't matter. So we ask, Father, that you help us. Help us to be able to take each day and notice the beauty and the joy that's there, no matter how small, to notice the good that you provided for us, to notice the people around us. Help us, Father, to find that passion and joy in living, especially as we know that you have given us such a wonderful gift in restoring us to you through your Son, Jesus. I'm grateful for that, Father. And we know we need you. And we depend upon you. And it's in you that we have found what we've needed. First, through Jesus we pray. Amen. One of the folks I follow, I believe it's on Threads, talks about things with parenting and things along those lines. And she had asked her followers, and this is how I came across her, you can tell where she's coming from, to mention, if you were raised by emotionally healthy parents, what kind of things did they tell you that really had a big impact on you? Because it's easier for us to talk about parents that didn't do so well, and that's where we tend to fall into, is talking about how parents have messed up through life. But she wanted to talk about those good things. And so the responses, things she put in some of the responses, were things along the lines of, you know, I will always love you no matter what. May not be thrilled with what you choose, but I will always love you. They were told, you know, growing up, part of growing up is making mistakes. So I'm not surprised when you make bad decisions. But in those mistakes is a great opportunity to learn as we go through life. Some of them talked about how their parents said, you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Some parents told their kids. But no, there was one in particular I remember. She said it wasn't her parents that said this. It was an uncle or grandfather that told her, you know, the best thing you've done so far is to become the person you are today. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. You hear those kind of things. And if you are somebody that didn't get to hear those growing up, you know how they resonate. Just the aspect of somebody saying how much you are loved, how they're there for you. Because it's easy for us in life. How many things do we hear that are pretty much neutral? Our conversations tend to revolve around a whole lot of other things. And the things we remember tend to be those things that have a bigger impact. So it's easy for us to remember those negative things that were said, those things that were hurt, or that hurt us. So when we find something that's good and positive, oh, it makes such a big difference in how we feel about ourselves and what goes on in our hearts. I love this. I can't remember. I didn't do it. Came across these cards were, you know, words we hope you remember. There are words in these cards that were given by parents to be affirming to their children. And I thought that was a pretty nifty little thing that they had going on there. Now, spiritually, when we think about
what helps us, what causes us to struggle spiritually. A lot of times we'll make that dichotomy, a contrast between positive things and good things and how it is encouraging and all those things that are difficult and we struggle with, as opposed to, I think, when we get into 2 Peter, we get a reminder that sometimes we struggle not because of necessarily what was said, but what we remember or what we don't remember and what we forget and how it has a big impact on us. Now, the verses before our scripture reading, we're told, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and mutual affection love. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But let's just give a frame of, for you to grow spiritually, to become the person that God wants you to be. He says, look, grow in this. Become this kind of person. And he says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you hear the growth. If you grow in this, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. It was interesting how Peter has flipped the script on us, because usually when we talk about, oh, this will help you to be effective and productive, he says it'll keep you from being ineffective and productive. And if you don't have them, you're nearsighted and blind. As opposed to, if you've got these, it helps you to see clearly as you go through life. And he says, what we've forgotten, if we don't grow, if we don't have these things, if we're being held back spiritually, what holds us back in our lives so many times is what we forget. And we forget for all kinds of different reasons. Now, he's not talking about forgetfulness, because if our spirituality, our faith is tied to forgetfulness, I'm in trouble. I don't know if this happens to you, but I know there are many times I will walk to the other side of the house and forget why I went over there. Have to go all the way back. And then remember, that's what I went after. And have to go back again. I used to have, years ago, I have an office in the basement of the church. Birdwell Lane in Big Spring has a basement like we do. I had my office downstairs. I would go up the stairs to tell the secretary something and get up there and forget why I got up there, have to go all the way back downstairs, sit at my desk, remember, get back up, and go back up the stairs. Forgetfulness is something that can get all of us, and it is not a measure of our spirituality. What he's not talking about forgetfulness, he's talking about forgetting what matters, forgetting who matters in everything. And if you go back over in the Old Testament, one phrase that comes up over and over again talking about the people of Israel is what gets them in trouble is they forget God and then they go to idols. They've forgotten God, they've forgotten the Lord, and they go on to other things and they've forgotten what really matters. They've forgotten how God was the one that brought them into their land and made them who they are. And they decided, look at what we've done. And he says that forgetting is what got them into trouble. And forgetting for us is a danger as well. Because if we forget what got us where we are today, if we forget who we are, if we so many things that if we forget and we allow life to distract us from those things that matter, it gets us off track and away from God. And so that forgetting is what causes us to become blind. It's the forgetting that causes us to not grow anymore. If we find ourselves stagnant, if we find ourselves even declining in our faith or declining in not getting where God wants us to be, and we look at that and say, how come I'm not any different? We have to back up and say, what are we forgetting? What have we forgotten in all that goes on? James talks about that, and we usually talk about these verses in the prospect of how what we hear is tied to what we do. But he gives the picture in this regard. He says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. We look at the word, we see the words, we read it, and we don't do anything with it. It's just like we've forgotten what's going on in us. We've forgotten who we are. But if we'll look at it, in that perfect law that gives freedom, continue in it, not forgetting what they've heard, remembering what goes on, and doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. And so he brings that all together, that we can hear words of what God says. We can hear what is said, and if we don't really understand or grab a hold of what that implies for us in our lives, we've missed what God has in mind for us. We don't become anything different. We don't grow from it. We don't make any kind of strides forward. And so the thing is we have to remember there's a danger to us today. There's a danger to us tomorrow in when we forget what yesterday gave us that's good and right. We can't live yesterday. But every day that's gone on before this one has had an impact on what goes on today. And we have to remember, what have we learned? What do we need to hold on to? What do we need to remember to help us to be who God wants us to be today? And so there's where we get into the idea of 2 Peter, our scripture reading, chapter 1, verses 12 down to 18. And in a sense, if you want to remember what you need to do, what do? To make sure you remember what you need to remember? You can put post-it notes all over the place. I've got to-do lists, shopping lists. I don't know how many times I've gone to the store and gone all through the shopping list and didn't get something because we didn't add it. And I knew we needed it. But in that moment, because it wasn't there, I had to have something to remind me. And so that idea of to make sure that we remember what really matters, we need reminders. So Peter says, I will always remind you of these things. There he goes. I want to make sure over and over again to tell you so that you remember what really matters, that you keep that in your hearts and your minds, that it helps you to live today and what needs to be. So even though you know them, have you all ever thought to yourself, or said, I've heard that before, and gone on? Peter says, I know you know it, but I want to remind you. Because this is what matters. I know you know them, and you're firmly established in the truth you now have, but I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. I want you to remember these things, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Over and over again, he says, I want you to remember what really matters. I want you to be able to grab a hold of those things and live with them and make them part of who you are. Because this is what will help us not only to stay where we are, but to continue to grow and become who God wants us to be. We need to remember what we had from before. And so those things, what we heard before in the past, are the building blocks we've used to build our faith, the building blocks we've used, the foundation to help us to get where we are today. And we've got to remember where those things are. Hey, let me give you a test case to show how this works. The church in Sardis, let me make it Sardis. What do they have to do anything? Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. Now, this is a group of folks that we need to pay attention to, because here Jesus talking to them says, you know, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He's not mincing any words. He said, this is what Jesus wants you to hear. I know your deeds. I know you're doing good things. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. It's like you look good on the outside, but there's so much that's lacking on the inside. You're not becoming who God wants you to be. You stopped growing in your faith. You stopped growing and becoming who God wants you to be. And in a sense, you're kind of sitting still, and now you're losing ground. Everybody around talks about that wonderful church in Sardis, that how wonderful they are, but Jesus says, I know the truth. And what's the prescription that Jesus gives to get them back on track? There in verse 3, remember, therefore, there it is, remember what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Remember, he says, grab a hold of those things. To get that back is to remember. So for us to grow begins by remembering what we heard. Remembering, for our living faith, we have to remember what we heard. We have to remember those basic building blocks of things to go, this is what really matters, and we want to grow from here. Now, some of those things, when we talk about remembering, what is it that we get from remembering what we've heard? What is it that we're looking for and all that kind of thing? So we get things that I think come from Jude. If we remember what we were taught, it helps us to get through difficult times. It helps us remember, I was told about this. In Jude, verse 17, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. Remember what you were told. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. You hear what he says? Remember, this is what you were told. Don't be surprised that there are people now who are saying they're Christians, but are behaving in a way that is so unchristlike and ungodly. We should be surprised because we were told about that. See, how remembering what we were told makes a difference for us today, because I'm not surprised by it. We kind of expect, in this regard, we kind of expect in our lives everything to go well. That everybody around us will behave. That there shouldn't be any bumps in the road. And we hit a hard time, we go, oh, I can't believe it. Here it comes again. As opposed to going, we were told about this. We were taught about this. So I'm not surprised by the behavior of folks. I'm not surprised because God told us that this would be. Remember what you heard so that you don't get your feet knocked out from underneath you. You can keep your stance firm, you can stand on solid ground and know no matter what comes, I know what God has said, and I'm going to hold on to that. Another thing is, he says, when we remember what we gained, what we were taught, it'll help us desire more of it. You know, we all understand that prospect. We start that from an early age. You know, if y'all don't know, Cambry's motivated by food. Many of us are. And when she sees where something came from that she likes, she remembers and she wants more of it and wants to go back to it. In fact, I imagine if you give her something sweet, give her something that she likes, she'll remember you and come back to you and expect more. I mean, that in our own lives goes on. In Colossians, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people. There in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, we've heard about the good that's in you. And so he takes him back. You know, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard and the true message of the gospel that has come to you. So he says, I know how you got where you are now because I know what you were taught. I know what you heard. But then he adds this, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. The way that their faith was growing, the way that they continued to become who God wanted them to be, is because they understood in that moment, oh, this is what we've needed. Here is the grace of God. Here is the mercy that we've needed in our lives and has helped us to get where God wants us to be. I want that. And once we have a taste of that in our lives, in fact, 2 Peter says it this way, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, says, 1 Peter, sorry, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. When something is good, we want more of it. We remember what we've taught. We remember what we heard. And we go, I remember the good that I found there in Christ. I remember the good that I was told. His grace, His mercy, the love that He has for us, the forgiveness that I got because of it. And all that goes on there is the start to where I want to know that more. I want to understand it more. I want to have more of that in my life so that I can build on that and become more who God wants me to be. Oh, it was so good. But that growth begins by remembering what we've been given, what we've been told. The next thing is, remembering what we were taught helps us look forward to what can be. Any of y'all parents ever made a promise to your kids when they were little? Yeah, we'll go to McDonald's if you behave. The kids ever forget it? In fact, if you don't take them to McDonald's, 20 years later, when they're grown, they'll bring it up again. You promised to take us to McDonald's that day, and you didn't do it. You hear what happens? We hear what's said, and we hold on to it because that gives us hope. And what we heard in the gospel, what we were taught, is the same thing. God won't make that promise and then renege on it like us earthly parents. But we know we can count on it. I tell you this, he says in Ephesians chapter 4, and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking. He's saying, don't stay where you are. Move on. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. They are full of greed. Now, you look at all that and go, it's almost discouraging. He said, don't be there. Because now he turns it around and says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him according to the truth that is in Jesus. That is not what you heard. That's not what you learned. That's not where you want to be because you made a choice when you heard about Christ. When you heard the good news, you chose. That's not where I want to be. I want to be here. I want to be where God wants me to be. It says you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, to put it aside and to move on, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To where I know where I was, but here's where I'm going. This is where I'm going. I'm not staying there. I'm going this way. And I remember what I was taught because that encouraged me to grab a hold of what will be and what can be in my life. We're not stuck in the past if we remember what we were taught. In a sense, we've grabbed a hold of it. We know all the good, and like plants that send down their roots even deeper to get nutrients and water in our lives, we go, oh, that was so good, and we put our roots into that so that we can stretch up even higher to gain what God wants for us in every way. God made promises in Christ. He made promises about life and living. That's what I want. That's where my hope is. And so I remember what I've been taught. I remember what He said. And I reach for what He made, what the promises He made for us. Because there's where I'm headed. And it all starts with this foundation of what we've been taught. And I want to more and more grow more deeply in that. In a sense, you know, when we look at plants, I love ivies because it's almost like you can mistreat them and they still keep on going. But most plants, you can't do that. When you look at them, you know, if they're starting to wilt, you got to figure out what they just basic needs. They need water, not too much. They need nutrients of the soil. They need sun, depending on what kind they are. But we look at the health of that plant and we know there's something that needs to be addressed. And so if we look at our lives spiritually, if we look at our faith and we say something's lacking here. Something, I'm missing something because I sure am struggling. What we start to look at is where are our roots? Have we dug down deep into what God has given us, what we've been taught? Are we growing in that so that we can draw from it and grow as God wants us to grow in everything? For healthy faith, we build on this foundation. For healthy faith, we develop it even more to give us a solid foundation. I think He's telling us it's time to finish. How's your faith today? Are you struggling? Have you gotten distracted? We're here to remind each other, to remember what God has told us, what He's promised in Christ, so that we can all reach for what God has promised us and live today to glorify Him. If you need prayers to help you in your faith today, if you in your faith are ready to commit yourself to God completely, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to start out brand new in Him, you can do that today. need to respond. Would you come as we stand and sing?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it's well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sigh, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. A common love for